Welcome to The Edge Show, episode 67. I'm Simon Perryman, Senior Technical Evangelist with Microsoft, and I'm once again by myself because our team is so busy getting ready for all of the Windows Server 2012 R2 events, System Center 2012 R2 events, and all of our other launch planning. So really exciting time of year for all the evangelists out there. But we have a lot of news to cover, which we'll get started on. First of all, we want to encourage you to complete a survey, the Edge Show survey. So this is a great way to directly give us feedback about what you really like. So if it's Simon's jokes or something like that, you even got entry boxes that you can put that information directly into. So go check that out, and you have a chance to win some gift cards as well. Next Monday, we are hosting another live event, the System Center 2012 R2 Jumpstart. So this is going to be on Monday, July 15th. It's an all-day event, and the link at the bottom of the screen will give you access to our registration information. Don't worry, the instructor team includes more than just me, so you're not just going to get 8 hours of Simon. We're going to mix it up by including Kenan Owens, Juan Hu, and Brandon Matheson, part of our technical product management team. Also, this event has a live Q&A, and there'll be dozens of Microsoft System Center experts in our chat room, so if you have any questions about today's version of System Center, what's coming out in R2, join this event, and we will answer all of your questions. Next thing, we have a new release. We have the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Tool version 8.5. Now, this has just come out, its final release, and what MAP does is essentially allow you to go and assess your entire environment. So if you're thinking about a new deployment, you're thinking about an upgrade, moving to the latest version, go run this MAP toolkit, and it'll give you a detailed inventory about what is in your environment, how it's licensed, how well it's running, things that may be better co-located together or separately. So for example, if you're running a domain controller on your Hyper-V host, it's going to make a recommendation. You're probably going to want to separate that. Now in version 8.5, this newest release, we've completely updated the GUI, so brand new graphical user interface. We've added support for Link, SharePoint, and Exchange 2013. So you're going to get usage data, how many people you have, what type of usage patterns they have. And then we've also enhanced our virtual machine discovery. So you get deeper insights, deeper intelligence, and better consolidation information using Hyper-V. Next thing we want to bring up is this new report that was just released by Gartner, one of the independent research consulting companies. They've just released a new report showing x86 server virtualization infrastructure, and we're happy to see that Microsoft, with Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V, is now considered one of the leaders in the industry, surpassing many of our other competitors in the space. So a great report. It talks about a lot of the strengths, pros and cons of all of the virtualization vendors, including Citrix, Microsoft, Oracle, Parallelis, and Red Hat, and of course VMware. So if you're starting to do a new assessment of what virtualization technology should I deploy, great third-party research report here, giving you a lot of insight and other information. Now, as you know, we are getting ready to launch Windows Server 2012 R2 and System Center 2012 R2 in the near future. So don't forget all of those evals are already out. They're already available to download and start testing. But we did just release two new evals this past week that you may find interesting as well. First of them is for Windows Server 2012 R2 Essentials. Now, Essentials is basically a stripped-down version of the operating system, ideal for small businesses. So it's going to include core things such as Active Directory, file services, integration with cloud services and Windows Azure. But it's not going to include those kind of advanced data center, large-scale enterprise things, such as failover clustering. So if you have a small business, kind of a great way to get started, taking advantage of the latest and greatest Windows Server 2012 capabilities. And once again, the preview is now available. Next on the list, we have the preview for remote server administration tools for Windows 8.1. If you're unfamiliar with RSAT, RSAT is essentially a graphical user interface that's very identical to Server Manager, yet it runs on your laptop. And so this update to RSAT is the update that supports Windows 8.1, so the new up-and-coming Windows client release. What this means is, using just your regular 8.1 laptop, you can go and connect to all of your servers, manage your infrastructure, and just see the health of the entire environment without having to go TS or RDP into one of our other servers. Final thing that we've just released is also a compatibility guide designed to help people think about moving to the latest version of Windows. So we have a lot of customers that have built these kind of custom applications for Windows 8. How well is it going to work on Windows 8.1? Well, you're going to have to read this guide to find out, because I don't know the answer to that. Essentially, what we've done with this guide is just provide some best practices to kind of talk about the core changes we made to the operating system and some things that you may need to be aware of if you're now moving your entire environment to 8.1, such as changes in networking, changes in user rights, changes in other privileges. Now again, all of these links we're going to go and add right at the bottom of this screen. Don't forget to complete the survey, and coming up very shortly, I'm going to be interviewing Greg from the Virtual Machine Manager team to talk about one of these hot IT trends, network virtualization. Thanks for joining us, and stay tuned. And welcome back. I'm joined today by Greg, and we're going to cover one of the more interesting, one of the hot topics coming out with System Center, Virtual Machine Manager, and that's all around network virtualization. First of all, Greg, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Greg Cazanza. I'm a senior program manager on the System Center VMM team, and I've been focusing on networking for the past probably year and a half now to really bring a lot of new capabilities online.
So you're the guy that's been driving these changes, pushing us towards this path of software-defined networking, network virtualization.
Yes, I've been working on getting the features in so that we can support all the new functionalities coming in Windows Server, all the new functionalities just coming in the industry, and making sure that we keep the networking features in the product up to date.
Great. So really high level, what is new in VMM 2012 R2 networking?
VMM 2012 R2, we of course have this release in order to support the Windows Server 2012 R2 release. So there's a lot of new functionality in Windows Server 2012 R2. So in Windows Server, they added a new network virtualization gateway so that we can actually connect to these virtual networks to the outside world. We also did some additional work along the line of being able to configure physical switches using standards-based API so that we can talk to these physical switches and configure them, make sure that they have the right VLAN set on every port, make sure that the Hyper-V hosts are able to talk to the network the way that VMM expects them to be able to. We also did some work in additional work around forwarding extensions for Hyper-V to make sure that they are able to work with network virtualization fully and take full advantage of the network virtualization capabilities that were introduced in Windows Server 2012. So we've done a number of work there to enhance that capability as well.
Great. So now we say we do these forward and extensions through our virtual network. Does this mean that our VMs can go forward, or what's the enhancement here?
Yeah, so a forwarding extension is basically lets you take a third-party driver and install it into the Hyper-V virtual switch. And then that basically lets you use some of the capabilities that third parties, such as the Cisco Nexus 1000V, are able to add additional capabilities that we didn't build in the box. It's really one of the key parts of our software-defined networking story, is the idea that you can extend this virtual switch to add additional capabilities. Another great example is the NEC OpenFlow controller integration as well. They have a virtual switch extension that gets installed into Hyper-V, and then they can talk to their controller to add additional capabilities that we didn't build in the box.
Very nice. Well, I hear so much about virtualization, right? And as we kind of look at our trends, we saw this server virtualization, storage virtualization, and network virtualization is the next big thing. Tell me, what exactly is network virtualization? What's software-defined networking? What's kind of this difference between the two?
Yeah, I mean, I talked a little about network virtualization, software-defined networking. What I really mean by that, so for software-defined networking, it's the idea that you can actually control the network through software. So historically, you've had all these network devices. You can configure the properties manually, set your VLANs, and configure everything, and let it run in a static configuration. But in modern environments, things are very dynamic. As you can spin up a VM, its network requirements can be very different from another VM that's sitting on the same machine. So through software-defined networking, we can actually go out and reprogram the network as it's needed, when it's needed.
And that's entirely virtually, right? We're moving away from these days of actually plugging in those physical Ethernet cables, right?
Right.
As soon as the VM's up and running, boom, we're connected.
Yeah, exactly. You have one physical Ethernet cable, but then you can really control what actually goes through that cable through software. And network virtualization is a great example of what you can do with software-defined networking. So it's the idea that, like server virtualization, you basically abstract out the actual physical infrastructure and present a virtual view of the network to the machines that are on that network. So they can have their own address space. It's independent of what's used to send the packets on the wire. Multiple tenants of these environments can have their own address spaces that overlap even, and they won't collide with each other, and they can stay isolated so that one tenant can't see the network of another tenant. So previously you'd have to use VLANs for that. VLANs require a lot of configuration on the physical switch. They're very difficult to manage. So with network virtualization, you can spin up these networks quickly, tear them down again, as tenants come and go. It's very dynamic.
So how are these centrally managed? I mean, in the past, we'd have all of these different boxes, routers, different networking components that oftentimes you'd have to go onto each one to configure. How are we changing that? How are we making this easier in this release?
Yeah, so with network virtualization, VMM is essentially the central management component. It knows where all the virtual machines in your data center are, and it knows which virtual machines are allowed to talk to each other. We introduced a concept in our 2012 SP one release called a VM network that essentially defines what this virtual network is, and when a VM gets created, it connects to this virtual network or this VM network. Now, at some point, though, this VM network needs to talk to the outside world. It's great that they talk to each other, but at some point, they have to talk to the physical network. That's one difference between virtual networking and server virtualization. And so, for that purpose, there is a component called a network virtualization gateway. And this is one of the new components that we're shipping in the box in Windows Server 2012 R2, is a network virtualization gateway that basically lets these virtualized networks talk to the physical infrastructure.
Interesting. Now, as I go and take a look at the new fabric management here, I see there's a lot of different nodes under networking. Mm-hmm. Can you quickly walk us through those?
Yeah.
Logical switches, logical networks, all of these different pieces.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of when I talk to a lot of customers, and they start up for the first time, they ask, where do I get started? What is the first thing I do? And they sometimes do get confused by what's the difference between a logical network and a logical switch. Well, a logical network really defines what your physical network looks like. So it models the routes in your network, the subnets, the VLANs, so that VMM understands what is the configuration of your physical network, so that when VM needs to deploy a virtual machine onto a specific host, it'll know what address it can use, it'll know what subnet to use for that VM on that host. So if we deploy somewhere else, we can apply different settings. So it really models the network.
And that's it's our model, and that's our shared model across all of our infrastructure. Again, with VMM kind of being our central management piece.
Yeah, exactly. So VMM, you can give your networks a name, and then within those networks, so here, for example, this is my external network. My external network has a name now, so that when I deploy a VM, I just connect it to the external network, and then VMM knows what the subnet is for that external network. You don't have to actually say, I want this subnet and this VLAN for this VM.
So is this like we configure it once, then as we deploy our VMs, we're automatically getting things remapped? We're not doing that manually wrapping ourselves.
Yep, exactly. You do it once up front. You can add to it as your environment grows, as you add additional subnets and VLANs, you can add those here as well. But your model, you define it once, and you just reuse it over and over and over again. So it's really just some upfront configuration, and then it really saves you a lot of time down the road. Now, a logical switch is a slightly different feature. It basically models your virtual switch infrastructure and the capabilities of that virtual switch. So much like a physical switch, your virtual switch is made up of a whole bunch of ports that your virtual adapters plug into. These virtual ports all have settings, just like a physical switch has physical ports and each port has its own settings. A virtual port has its settings. And a logical switch basically gives you a single place where you can define these settings and apply them over and over again to all of the virtual ports on all the virtual switches in your data center. So it really gives you a single central place to make your configuration, then you can apply it again and again consistently throughout your data center. And then the other key thing is once we know how these switches are supposed to be configured, we can actually verify that everything stays configured correctly over time, and we can enforce compliance on those switches as well. And so over time, you can make sure that your data center stays consistent.
Very nice. Now, you mentioned earlier that we talked about, deploying these new networks, and you'd have a group of tenants that are kind of isolated on one network. I've sometimes heard that called kind of a hybrid network. Can you tell me just a little more about, how this is deployed, how it's used, and then how could these isolated tenants go speak to the outside world or the rest of your infrastructure in your data center?
Yeah, so hybrid network, that's actually one of the key areas that we focused on in this release, in the R2 release, is focusing on hybrid networking end-to-end as a complete scenario. So what hybrid networking is, it's basically you can go into a hosted data center, create a network, and actually connect that network back to your own data center, your on-premise data center, and connect them seamlessly using a portion of your on-premise address space. And it basically acts as if it's one network, even though it's actually located in two different places. Network virtualization makes this possible because in the hosted network, you can define the address space that matches what you expect to have in your on-premise network.
Now, if I have a VM that moves from my first network over to my second network, what happens to that VM? Does it need to update IP addresses?
Yeah, generally you would deploy new VMs into the hosted side of the network so that it gets an address in the subnet at the hosted side. If you do move a VM, then you will need to update its address to match the subnet. Even though it's part of the same larger address space, it's still a subnet within that address space that you need to move over entirely. But it's just a matter of updating its IP address, re-registering in DNS, and then it will become available.
Okay. Now, so for these large hosters that we have, right, I see we spend a lot of investment in that, both on the Windows Server, on the System Center stuff. Mm-hmm. So you kind of talked about this hybrid networking, but what are the customers that would go and kind of use this type of hybrid network?
Yeah, so it could be a large enterprise that's acting as its own internal hoster. It could be a public hoster, so basically private cloud versus public cloud.
Makes sense.
Both of those can use this hybrid network capability. And one of the key things we did in this release, you know, as I mentioned, we looked at it as a scenario end-to-end. So we looked at what we needed to do in Windows to make this available for everyone. We looked at what we needed to do in System Center to make sure that there weren't any gaps there, and then all the way up to the Windows Azure Pack as the self-service portal, so that a tenant, either an enterprise user or a customer of a hoster could go into this portal and create their own network and basically manage it themselves so the administrator doesn't
need to be involved. Empowering some level of self-service using the Windows Azure Pack.
Exactly.
Very nice. Now, you talked about this NVGRE gateway. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that's Network Virtualization Generic Resource Encapsulation Gateway. And so that's kind of an extension of the GRE protocol, right?
Yep.
So tell me, what exactly is that? How does this work, and how's it relevant to our network virtualization
piece? So that's what bridges essentially the virtualized network with the physical network. Now, in order to connect to your on-premise network, you have to have a site-to-site VPN tunnel so that your traffic stays encrypted as it goes across the public internet. But you can also have, using this gateway, a completely hosted virtual network that uses network address translation, or NAT, to be able to talk directly out to the internet. You can also allow inbound access through NAT. So these are some of the key capabilities of this network virtualization gateway. It's for hosted networks and for these hybrid networks.
So how does somebody get one of these?
So there are third-party gateways. So in Windows Server 2012 and VMM 2012 SP1, we really focused on using third-party gateways as the mechanism for us to make these connections.
So, this is available today as well. Okay.
Yep. A number of our partners have announced them. F5 has a gateway available. Iron Networks has a gateway available on the market as well. And Huawei has announced that they will have one this year as well. So these are our partners that have these gateways available now. Going forward in the R2 release, we needed a way for customers to get started with network virtualization and really be able to use all in-box components so they can understand how network virtualization works, build up their environment, grow to a certain scale using all in-box components. So that's why we're now shipping one in the box.
Very nice.
And eventually, customers may outgrow what we have in the box, and then they can continue to go to third parties and hardware gateways to get additional features and capabilities that are beyond what we have in the box.
So how easy is this to go and configure?
It's easy. You can do it all through System Center and VMM. I can show you right now deploy your gateway VM. So these gateways run in a VM, and you deploy them using a VMM service template. So you can see in this environment here, if I go up to where my service templates are, you can see I have a Windows Server 2012 R2 gateway. And if I open up the designer for this, you can see it's just a VM, and we enable the Windows Routing Remote Access Service and basically routing in the VM and configure it and get it ready. So we can deploy this. It'll connect it to the necessary networks that are needed. And then once it's deployed, you can add it to VMM as a gateway, and it becomes essentially a network service for VMM. We then know that this is a gateway, and we can now configure it and create tenant networks on this gateway.
Now, how would somebody download this or install this, or does this come
inbox? There's
nothing
to download. It's all inbox. So Windows Server has all the components in R2 inbox. VMM will have all of the components needed to talk to the gateway in the box as well. So you won't need to download anything extra.
Awesome. So continuing with this configuration.
Oh, yeah. So now once you have the basic fabric set up, you've deployed a gateway, you've added it to VMM, then it's simply a matter of going to the VM networks area and creating a VM network that uses it. So I can create my network. I want to say that I want to use Hyper-V network virtualization. I can define my own subnet. And then I can define what kind of connectivity I want to use through this gateway. So you can see here, here's the gateway device that we already have added.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that I want to just use NAT. I want to connect directly to a local network using NAT. And what this will do is it'll basically let me have my own address space, and then it'll get translated into a or internet routable or corporate routable address as it goes outside of this virtual network. So it's great for doing dev test environments. Or if you are in a hoster and you've extended your on-premise address space, you can still get direct access to the internet. If, let's say, you want to hit Windows Update to get an update for your VM without going through a VPN tunnel to get to it. So here I can say connect directly to another network. I can define my settings for my external IP address. I can add inbound rules so that I can get into this network as well. And then I finish it, and then this will go out, and it will create that network.
Well, I really see a lot of investments that VMM has made across all of these different types of virtualization. I mean, it's really becoming more virtual manager, you mm-hmm. know, insert that adjective or insert that in between. But yeah, it's really nice seeing us grow everything out here. Now, as we wrap it up, anything else you want to show us?
Yeah, so the one last thing I want to show you is that, you know, I showed you how to do this through the VMM portal, I mean, the VMM admin console. But you can also do this through the Windows Azure pack as well. So here you can see, here's the Windows Azure pack. Close that. You can actually go in and create a virtual network through here, and we get basically a very similar experience for creating a network through this, through a self-service portal. It's very similar to what you would get through if you actually use one of the Azure virtual networks.
Okay.
It's the same type of experience. So I can do my other network. And I can basically go through and basically follow through the same wizard and complete this.
So
as
wizards
well.
Based, and this is what kind of like a self-service
yep,
type user
self-service,
would use
yep.
using the Windows Azure Pack.
Yep, exactly.
Excellent. And if you want to learn more about the Windows Azure Pack, we do have a lot of courses online. We did some interviews at TechEd North America as well, so definitely a lot of content coming there. But if people want to learn more about network virtualization and what's new in VMM 2012 R2, where can they go?
So the System Center team blog on TechNet is a great resource for getting information. There's an article out there right now on software-defined networking. You can go and read about that. And we'll be continuing to publish articles to that as we go through our R2 release cycle.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for coming.
Right,
also,
thanks, Simon.
Don't forget to check out Microsoft Virtual Academy. We're continuing to add content on there. And very soon, we'll be having some content on VMM 2012 R2. Big focus on network virtualization. I haven't told Greg, but I'm kind of relying on his help here. So we'll be having a conversation later. Well, with that, Greg, thanks again for coming. Really appreciate it, and we'll see you again soon.
Thanks.
Welcome back. I thought that was a pretty interesting interview. You know, as a kind of a regular user of Virtual Machine Manager, even sometimes I struggle understanding these different network virtualization concepts. So I really want to thank Greg for kind of coming in, breaking down these different components. But if you out there still have questions for us, don't forget you can post them right to the bottom of this page. I'm going to be regularly checking them. So you want to know more about network virtualization, ask a question, post it on the TechNet forums, and make sure that you come to our event on Monday, July 15th for System Center 2012 R2 Jumpstart. One more time, I want to remind you to complete the survey, give us some great information, some great feedback about what you guys are looking for. And next week, David Tassar will be back. He's back from paternity leave, so we want to welcome him and his new family back to the team, and he's going to be your host for episode 68. We'll see you next week. Thanks.